All right, let's go to Revelation chapter 11. We don't have much, and I will correct myself on one thing. Our official publication, Revelation, unveiled, the book of Revelation unveiled, says about the two witnesses. I have that fifth trumpet plague. Seventh, last trumpet announces it, but just before that. Okay, here we go. Regarding their being killed, says this. But the rejoicing will be short-lived. Remember, they're all rejoicing over the fact that they've been killed, and they're seeing this all over the world, probably by television camera, by internet, by YouTube, or whatever else, showing these bodies lying in the streets, and people rejoicing and being happy over it. The rejoicing will be short-lived. The 3.5 days after their execution, the two prophets will be resurrected, verses 11 and 13. At the very time the seventh trumpet announces the return of Christ and the resurrection and the reward of God's servants, see verses 15 to 18, and it says compared to Hebrews 11:39 and 40, a startled world will have irrefutable proof of the one true God, of who is the true God, which is his religion. What comes next will occur with astounding speed. Then it talks about the second woe is past. It really didn't say they're going to be going to heaven, but it does say they will be resurrected at this very time the seventh trump announces. Remember, the seventh trumpet is when the saints are resurrected. It's always been a question as to whether they are resurrected when that trumpet first blows, or at the end of all the events that come as a result of that seventh trumpet being blown. So that was a question in that. But the book seems to indicate it's making this story complete, then it's going back to telling you about the announcement. So we can have discussion about this and try to figure out what you think it would be, where you think it would be. It looks like a physical resurrection because breath enters into them. Looks like a physical resurrection. God didn't have to give them the breath. He could have just taken them and changed them. But he gives them the breath first, and then they're resurrected spiritually. That's fine too. So they stand up. People see them standing. Let's go to Revelation chapter 11. See verses 11 and 12, that part, and then we'll see the rest of it, verses 15 through 19. But verses 11 and 12, he said, and after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. So they stood upon their feet, so they're seeing them, obviously, in a physical condition. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. Well, we know we don't go to heaven. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. So 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says Christ is coming back in a cloud. When you finally see him, he comes back in a cloud. But 1 Thessalonians 4:17 tells you this takes place when? At the seventh trump. Now, it doesn't say that seventh trump is here yet. It says that's coming. It also says this is the second woe is past. Now, whether it's just giving you the complete rundown, while all the troubles are happening between the Great Tribulation continuing to occur, the two nations, the fifth and sixth trumpets, or the first and second woes, are the two competing warlike groups, the beast power and the oriental hordes, they're fighting each other. And all during this time, what is going on? The two witnesses are going to be doing their job. So he says the second woe is completed when the two witnesses are killed and resurrected. So it seems like the third woe hasn't yet come. That's what it seems like to me, but again, I'll go with what the booklet says. Verse 13, the same hour, there was a great earthquake, 10th part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain men of 7,000, and the remnant were frightened, gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe comes quickly. So the third woe is what? The seventh trump. So are these people being resurrected to eternal life before others, or is he saying this happens as part of the whole scheme? So you have this parenthetical section on the two witnesses in chapter 11. Is that what he's talking about? Parenthetical. So he closes it by saying the second woe is past. So, and again, but it would involve the seventh trumpet. All right, let's go to chapter 11 and verse 15. So that's a little question that I have in my mind. Yes, Raymond?
For many years about the end of the 13th verse, and maybe you could elaborate just shortly. The rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. It's like there was a change, like maybe a conversion, or what do you think?
Well, I don't know if it'd be conversion. They were frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven. What do you think they had been hearing and seeing on television as the result of these two witnesses' ministry? Two witnesses going around the world proclaiming the gospel, saving people who are, you know, changed now. 144,000, the innumerable multitude. How were they baptized? Who was there to make sure they weren't constrained to work on the Sabbath and all the rest? Who was there to protect them? Well, the two witnesses. So would people have heard about that when these two witnesses were doing all their deeds? They would have. Because it says the whole world is going to be upset at them. The whole world's going to be. So now that they see that these two witnesses whom they were happy were killed are now resurrected, now they've changed. Some of them may change their mind. So it could be. Could be a repentance. Could be. All right, let's go to chapter 11. Any other thoughts? And if you have any other thoughts on this, please let me know. Okay. Let me know any other thoughts on that part. I was going to have you tell me what do you think the two witnesses, what we read about the two witnesses. What it would be like. What would it be like to be one of the two witnesses? How would you feel? It would be a daunting duty to be one of the two witnesses. You know you have enormous power. You know you're going to be killed. Chris?
I have to listen to, I'm sure that two witnesses might, whether TV or whatever, get feedback. Maybe newspapers get thrown at them, but the media is going to be constantly slamming them. I mean, to be told that they're devils or aliens or whatever, they're going to come up with some kind of explanation, explain who or what, or downplay a miracle, something would happen, hundreds of people saw it, and then the news reports a soccer game in Brazil.
Forgets about it. Much like they do today.
Yeah, so it's like, that constant beating down and de-emphasizing probably really bad.
Good point. They have to be, and that, what does that tell us today when we run into trials and troubles and difficulties and we battle them and withstand them? What does that tell us that's doing for us? It's helping us be prepared. It's helping us be ready. Raymond?
I think the two witnesses.
Is it on?
I think the two witnesses are going to be individuals that have been prepared for it beforehand. Like they can go through a lot of experiences in life. You have the right attitude before God gives them a bunch.
How do you mean prepared?
Well, they might go through persecution.
Okay, but it's not going to be like there's one person that says he's training the two witnesses.
It may not even be obvious to
them. Right, there you go. I would believe you're right. I would believe that these two men must have incredible character. That these two men must have incredible boldness. That these two men must have incredible health. And these two men must be knowledgeable of God's word and know God's word and know it well enough. Could it be one of the two of the broadcasters or the Beyond Today people who are known? Yeah, but how many people know the Beyond Today? I think these two men, whoever they are, will be known rather quickly when they make a stand, when they make their first stand, wherever it might be, for God's people and for God's way. I think they'll start to be known. When the first nation goes against them and they have to bring plagues upon that nation, I think they're going to start to be known. And when they go throughout the world, heralding God's message, serving the people in captivity, and remember, the God's people, Israel, physical Israel, and whoever are left of the church, the Laodicean group, they're going to be scattered. They're not going to just be going in one place. The Bible talks about them being in various places. The angel at the end has to go and gather people from the four quarters of the earth. And those would be probably both physical Israelites and God's people wherever they have been scattered. At the end, not the Philadelphia church, but the people who've been Laodicean, who've left and may have to go through and prove their colors. Whoever these two are, they would have to have enormous character. They would have to have a lot of patience. They would have to have a lot of wisdom and a lot of discernment. And I'm sure God will add to their discernment as he adds to their power. Because if you let yourself get too riled up at somebody, you can take action against people that you really shouldn't have taken. And so they must have good character, they must have good patience, they must have good discernment and wisdom to know how to use this power and restraint, but also be willing to use it when they need to. So it's going to be whoever they are, but I don't believe they're going to be called. I would say, okay, let's see, Brody and Raymond, you're going to be the two witnesses. Now, let us train you. Let us beat you a few times, see how you can take it. Let us throw you down on the ground. Let us call you all kinds of names so we can prepare you. How are you going to prepare them? Let us hang you upside down for a while and waterboard you for a while. See if you could take all this. You know what? I don't see them having to take that much. Not initially. All right? So if anybody tries to hurt them, the fire comes out of their mouths and devours them. Now, whether they just say, angels, take them down, they're gone. I don't know what they'll do. I don't know what their weapons are. But he says, don't mess with those guys. All right, let's go to chapter 11, verse 50. So I'm going to give you enough time to do your paper, and you'll be able to do it relatively quickly, and you'll have an early day. Revelation 11, 15. And the seventh angel sounded. Remember, the last three trumpets are called the first three woes. Woe, woe, woe. And this is the third woe comes, verse 14 says. And the seventh angel sounded. Remember, these seven angels were given seven trumpets. They prepared their embouchures. They checked their valves to make sure the trumpet was working. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, great voices, loud voices, in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. He shall reign forever and ever. So this is an announcement. This is a proclamation. Will it happen just presto changeo? No. It has to take a little bit of time. It doesn't happen immediately. So he goes on to say, and in this verse, it become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So Jesus Christ and God the Father, it's proclaimed that the kingdoms of the world are now his. Because whose were they? 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world. The kingdoms of this world. And we'll see in the next chapter, I had that outlined over here, where it talks about in chapter 13, where the dragon, oh yes, notice in verse 4 of Revelation 13, and they worshipped the dragon, this is that beast power, which gave power to the beast. They worshipped the dragon, which gave power to the beast. So this world system is powered by Satan the devil. He's the one who's powering this system. So now they proclaim, you know what? Satan's day is coming to an end. That's the message. Verse 16, what is the reaction to the 24 elders as a result of this, which sat before God, verse 16 of Revelation 11, sat before God on their seats. They fell upon their faces and worshiped God. At this announcement, they fell down and they worshiped God. And verse 17, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which are, which was, and which is to come. because you have taken to you, yourself your great power and have reigned. We've been waiting for this. You know, a lot of people say, how can we solve all the world's problems? God's going to have to do it. How are we going to solve these problems? God's going to have to do it. Well, now God's going to do it. God's coming back to do it. And He's coming back to unleash with the seventh trumpet the seven last plagues. Those are yet to come. So He says, saying, you've taken your great power and have reigned. Verse 18, and the nations were angry with, and your wrath has come. Will the nations be happy to know that God is coming back? They're not. They've been sold a bill of goods. This one that's going to come back, descend from heaven. This is not the Christ. This is the Antichrist. And the nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged. So all this is going to happen, talking about the first resurrection, beyond that the second resurrection, beyond that the resurrection to death, that you should give reward to your servants, the prophets, and to the saints. That's when they get it. And them that fear your name, small and great, and you should destroy them which destroy the earth. Those who are out there fighting and those who are out there causing trouble and those who are out there giving difficulty by their means to this world. And by the way, did you note 220 Syrian Christians were taken captive by ISIS just in the last day or two? 220, and the only reason is because they're Syrians. There aren't very many Christians, by the way, who are Syrians. My family was always Christian. Came from Christians, not from Muslims. I took them captive. And who knows what they're going to do with them? Some think they might use them as human shields if they try to come against them. They've already done that. Take the little kids and turn them into military fodder in front of them. Have them go across the fields. You know, the Iranians did that. Sent little boys across the field first when they were fighting the Iraqis in case there were mines in the field and those little kids get blown up. Oh, we know we don't have to go that way. Because they're expendable. They're not seasoned fighters. So they give them a little uniform, let them get blown up. That's really sad that what's happening to our world today. They said, thank God you're coming back. You're going to spare this and you're going to spare and save those who fear your name. You're going to destroy those who destroy the earth and, of course, the inhabitants of the earth. Verse 19, and the temple of God was opened in heaven. So he gets a chance to look at God's temple in heaven. And there was seen in the temple the ark of his testament. And there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail that followed. But what does he see? He sees the Ark of the Covenant. Interestingly, what did the Ark of the Covenant contain? The Ten Commandments. Does God keep the Ten Commandments there? Are they important for him to have? Does he think they're important for us? Well, that's what would be in the Ark, Ten Commandments. All right, I'll stop there. Lightnings, thunderings, God always has this accompanying it. Verses 8, the nation will not be happy, and God will have to pour out the plagues on them to subdue them, as this chapter points out. All right, I'll stop there and ask you, then you have your paper, no other notes, you can use your Bible. Please do not just write verbatim what your Bible says, because I also have Nelson Bibles and I can look and see you gave just wrote their summary. I want your words. So just chapter one. What's in chapter one? You're just giving an overview, highlights. That's all I'm looking for. And only like in one sentence or two sentences. And you notice I left enough space between each one. That's all I want. It doesn't even have to be in sentence form. It can be in outline form, it can just say picture of God, what God in His glory, this and that, like two or three things. So that's all I want you to do. Once you've done that, make sure you put your name at the top. Once you've done that, then you can turn your paper in, either to me at my office or up here. I'll wait up here for you for till 20 after. And then you can go. So that'll be it for today.